Can you imagine your own friends and people that you live with want to kill you because you were telling them that the scripture about the coming Messiah has been fulfilled? And they didn't want to hear that. And so they grabbed him and off they went. So I entitled my message based on this scripture this morning, The Unmasking. The Unmasking of Jesus in Nazareth. I don't know if you ever paid much attention to it. Like if you go to a play and they always have a picture of two masks crossing this way. One smiling, one sad. And it's it goes back into some of the Greek oratories that you're come and you play a role in life. You can either be sad, you can be glad. So really, if you got to take off the mask, because if you're in a play and you're acting out something, you're just acting it out. But the real you is here. So you need to take the mask off. Well, we got masks now that don't really pertain to that. We have masks like because of COVID. But in The Phantom of the Opera, which I have never watched. Have you ever watched it, The Phantom of the Opera?
I've seen it
play. Yeah. How about Mardi Gras? That's coming up in a week or two because Lent's starting very soon. Or even Halloween. Or the Masquerade of the Red Death. I think many of us have seen these from time to time. And when we wear masks as people, in fact, we have a kind of a fascination with masking. Like in Halloween, the kids especially like to dress up and put masks on. So whether we're masking ourselves or unsure who lies behind the mask of someone else, masks for us intrigue us and reveal our excitement for mystery and the unknown. What lurks behind the mask of the phantom? We want to know. Is he disfigured? Is he shy? Is he a hero? Is he a psychopath? Our curiosity kind of keeps us hooked until the end when his true nature is revealed. Mask at Halloween. Children love them. Guessing games. As much as a hide-and-seek game. From masquerade to whodunit parties, blindfolded party games, pin the tail on the donkey. We find it great fun to hide, even just for a little while. And I think we all know that we are fascinated and we adore our own mask. Now, it might not be a mask that you can see, but we mask our true identity sometimes and don't portray it. So we adore our mask in society, in our social circles, in our churches. Masks allow us to put forth a persona that we like more sometimes than ourselves. Masks allow us to project a personality that seems to be more acceptable to others than we perceive would be accepted even for ourselves. So masks permits us to be one way, if you would, and seem another way, in ways that we find socially most advantageous to us until we are revealed. Or like when the lights are turned up and we stand there naked and exposed for everybody to see. And that's what the scripture was about today. Jesus is that light, that brass revealing, the ray that centers on Nazareth in rather a harsh way. One in swift act, he's revealed their hidden motives and nature and self-righteousness, entitlement, expectations, judgments, and artificial sweetness to people in Nazareth. And we like to face kind of like the phantom, bless you. And what emerges is not really pretty. It's the old wolf and sheep clothing metaphor with a twist, but we don't think of our upright church-going synagogue folks as wolves, of course. We think of them perhaps as misguided traditionalists. They mean well. They seek to be devout. They're following what they were taught. And they don't mean any harm. Yet. Jesus calls them out. Because when we think of ourselves beyond repentance, or no need for repentance, danger lurks. And that's the way it was in Nazareth. It kind of become like a Jurassic Park. They were so righteous and devout, and surely God's blessings would come upon them. And surely they deserved all the favor that God could muster. And surely Jesus came to lift him up and restore the name of Nazareth. Well, they could expect God's abundant blessings. They were, of course, God's best. And now the Messiah came from among them. The Messiah from Nazareth. You've heard it said, nothing good could come out of Nazareth. Well, they got their ticket. They got their ticket to ride, so to speak. And they were saying, hey, hallelujah and all that. But they ignored it. But we, as we noted last week in the scriptures, when we look at this passage of scripture, we see that their joy was short-lived. In one swift move, Jesus removed their mask, and everything about their appearance afforded them and revealed an ugly interior indeed. They wanted to shove him off the cliff, the native son, if you would, because he challenged their entitlement because he ripped off their mask. Now this move would become a serious challenge for Jesus and his ministry. Challenges not just to the townsfolk or the Pharisees or the priests. Challenges to all of those who pray, expecting their wishes to be granted. Challenges to those who do good in hopes of a list of checked off perks. Challenges to those who follow the law, anticipating favor. Challenges to those who feel entitled because, of course, they're chosen. And challenges to those who praise only in anticipation, as though God was a slot machine of favors or a penny vendor of cheap and easy grace. Jesus challenges selfish faith, the kind that require a mask in order to appear authentic. So from this point on, we would see again and again in Jesus' ministry, Jesus would be challenged hypocrisy. He would be challenging people to pretend that they're something that they're not. They're challenging them about the pompousness and the showiness, if you would. Not just by those in power, but even by some of his own disciples. From that point forward, Jesus would spend his entire ministry demonstrating and advocating for authenticity. For if there's anything that we can learn from Jesus, is that God cherishes an open and revealed heart. He wants you to be you. And it's good being you. You know, when you're comfortable in your own skin, what a blessing. It's a gift from God. Just be you. But sometimes, maybe a damaged heart or a suffering heart, it may be a heart oozing with pain and guilt and sin and shame. But God cherishes an authentic heart. For God cannot repair what is not revealed is broken. And this day we celebrate Holy Communion. We do it once a month. But communion is something really special. It allows us to think about ourselves. To think about what God has done for us. Revealing our hearts. So as we come to Christ's table in a little while, we're using the cups today. But normally we would come, and you can still come even with the cup and spend a little time at the altar. We come with broken hearts. We always have them. It don't matter how religious we are or how much that we have a good relationship with God. Our hearts are still broken from time to time. And there's only one who can heal it, and that's Christ. Sometimes broken hearts have undergone years of pain and hiding and loneliness and suffering. Hearts that have endured doubt and fear and disappointment and disillusionment. We live in a broken world and we've experienced all of these things. Hearts that have been confused. Hearts that have not known where to turn sometimes. But yet beating human hearts. What is placed in God's hand can be molded, restored, made beautiful, and made new. That's the core of repentance. You know, we've all been going wrong directions at a time in our life for different things. And sometimes when we didn't have the Spirit of God in our life, and we just kept on barreling through, not even paying attention. But now that we have the Spirit of God, we can stop and realize, gosh, we made a mistake, we're going the wrong way, and we need to repent. And all that means is stop, turn around, go the other direction, get back on the right track. Repentance is something that we just kind of take for granted, but don't do it, because we need to repent. God loves a repentant heart. The core of repentance is this. It's everything that Jesus and his predecessor, John the Baptist, preached to the people in Israel. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So that day, back in Nazareth, Jesus could not heal anybody because repentance was not found. But God would find repentance in the hearts of many, and he healed the sick, the outcast, the hopeless. So as we come to the communion table today, or just go through the motions with the little cups, just realize that with repentance in your heart, you're allowed to remove the mask of whatever binds you, no matter what it is. If any illusion or pain, and experience the freedom that Christ can offer. So allow him to remove your mask, if you would. Remake your spirit. Lift you up into joy and thanksgiving. For the time of the Lord has come. And we know the end of the story. He has won. We have won. If you look through the book of Revelation, go all the way back to the end and you'll see that we have won. Because the whole book of Revelation is about repentance and being an overcomer. Keep on keeping on. That pruning is a little tough sometimes, but it's worth the trip. So the now has come. Excuse me. To take our masks off and remember. That's what it says on here. Do this in remembrance of me. What did Christ do for us? He did something for us that we could not do for ourselves, and that's to receive grace, love, and forgiveness from everything that we've done in our life, and to be handled the gift of eternal life. So when they were gathering, of course, Jesus had a big deal with all the people in Israel, because a lot of them were godly people in their way of thinking about being godly. And he revealed some things to them that they didn't quite like or didn't quite get. Because they were in like a works thing. Well, if we can work for God, we can do better, we can get better, and we can work our way to heaven. Well, we know that's not true. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Christ. Jesus said that no one can come to the Father except through me. So that's a harsh statement, but it's a true statement. And that's what we need to do. We need to realize that we are saved by grace. Because we couldn't work our way to heaven. There's just no way. But as that little song that I love that I use for a theme song for my radio program, Jesus is your ticket to heaven. Call on him now for your reservation. And I pray that we all... So when we do communion, that's really all we're doing. We're just experiencing gratitude for the forgiveness of sin in our lives, that we can go on to heaven.